And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 186. Welcome. I am Silas Lindenstein, your host of Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Hey, it's just me today interviewing. It's just me as the host. Samantha Rund is on assignment. But today I am interviewing from the new film End of Us, one of the stars of that film, Ben Coleman. Ben Coleman is our guest today. And we'll be interviewing him, talking about his new film, End of Us, as well. I'll do a little review of that as well. And this is a two-parter, actually. I'm going to do this one, episode 186. Then episode 187, I'm going to be interviewing the director and writer of the film, also of End of Us, Stephen Cantor and Henry Lovner. Okay, so it's like a two-part End of Us series. This is part number one. I'm not going to review the film twice, so don't worry. I'll just talk about it today, what I thought about it. And then next episode is just going to be the interview from the director and writer. But today, Ben Coleman, charismatic guy, nice actor. It's always nice to meet these people and find out they're actually nice human beings in real life. Okay, so that's what we got going on today. Big thank you to our Patreon supporters. If you would like to support this program for just as little as $1 a month, if you're enjoying this show and you're like, you know what, it's worth a dollar a month, you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf and become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners. Or for a little bit more, you can join the Inner Circle and Stefan Ward or Keith Nagel. One of them, be like them and give a little bit more for this program that you love and support. Also, if you haven't yet, please go subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe to get the episodes downloaded right away. We really appreciate a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It helps get us up in the program, helps other people hear about the show. This show has a lot to grow. We have a long ways. We want to get going more, pumping this up. We're doing more reviews, more interviews with people that I've never had access to. And so let's get it going. Okay. This is a team effort. Me and then all of you, all of the thousands of you out there. It's both of us, both sides. You can also support this show by supporting my other podcast. It's called You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. That is where me, Silas Lindenstein, daytime real estate agent, teaches people how to purchase a home. I educate and empower home buyers all across the nation. And of course, if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, I'd love to help you out in buying a home. But that's not what this is about. This is Black and a Half. This is your go-to show for movie and film reviews, for witty banter, often with Samantha and I, or one of our other guests. I got to get some back our regulars back in here too, like Joseph or John, one of them. Get them in here and let's chat it up. So let's go. I want you to open your heart and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 186, The End of Us, Part 1.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
This is a good one, folks. I like this one. The End of Us. The End of Us. This is a new film. It's out now everywhere. It was opened in theaters December 3rd, started on demand on December 7th. It is a rom-com, romantic comedy, running time of 90 minutes. It stars Ben Coleman, Ali Vingiani, Derek de Blasis, Gadel Dill Orb, and Kate Peterman. Written and directed by Stephen Cantor and Henry Lovner. Rated R for language and sexual references. The synopsis of the film is a witty and timely comedy full of heart and humor. Cohabitating couple Nick and Leah are on the verge of splitting up when the worldwide COVID-19 pandemic forces them to stick together. As hours turn into days and then weeks, and a relative truce devolves into petty fights between the practical, career-driven Leah and the carefree, creative slacker Nick. As they navigate this new normal and reevaluate the relationship, the couple finds that breaking up may be harder than staying together. So, here's what's interesting to me, particularly about this film. I think it is one of the first, like, films to embrace the pandemic. And not, there's been some horror films that have been, like, a little bit atrocious, right? Well, at least from the previews or little I saw. Those films taken in a scary way. This is the one where it's like, well, okay, the pandemic is everyday life now. How do we deal with that? And I personally know of at least two people who broke up during the pandemic. I love that I'm speaking of it past tense as if there's not still a pandemic. We are still in a pandemic. Let's everyone remember that. But we are now at a point of the daily life with it, as opposed to this takes place on the early, when it lockdowns first started, right? But most movies and TV shows we watch, people aren't wearing masks, right? They're not talking about being worried about washing hands and what could you've brought into this house, right? Most people aren't, most entertainment is not dealing with that just mundaneness of it all, or the routine of it all. And this one takes that. So I'm calling this one of the first COVID films out there. And it's really interesting to see the human dynamics. The lead couples, Ben and Ali, have, like, they've worked together before, and it shows. Like, they have great chemistry on screen, and it really shows. It's funny. It's very real. And I get this from my own. I mentioned this in the interview. I had a divorce where the first couple of weeks, we tried living together for a couple of weeks to save money. Did not work. Do not advise that. If you're going to break up, leave. But with the pandemic, people couldn't. So you stuck them together. And so, like, that, it's just fodder for acting, because in acting, you're trying to create these scenarios where people, why don't people just leave and walk out of the room? Why don't they do that, right? And so you create obstacles or feelings on why they really want to stay. This one is one of the few literal, because you might die. You can't. Nobody will take you. In other times in life, usually people will accept you living at their house because you got kicked out. But this is a time when people are like, no, I don't really want you here. You might kill us, right? So this is great for acting fodder. Okay, it's a great setup for actors to work with, and they get to play. And there's clearly some stuff that's improvised in there, and I'm not saying that like in a bad way. It's just there's some things you can't write, and they're so natural, so spontaneous, you can't ever write. It's so real, right? And so it happens on here, and those times are wonderful in this film. I think they did a great job with the cinematography, showing, getting the sense of confinement in there. Not a lot of wide open shots. Just a lot of close containment on stuff. And I already covered the acting. I wondered when I first saw the trailer for the film, I was like, is this going to be too soon for this? Is it going to be too soon? Like, do I want some distance? Will I find this funny? And the answers are yes, you will find it funny. And no, it is not too soon. Because in comedy, it's almost never too soon. It's just, I mean, it depends on the people. But I think this allows you to have this shared experience with what is kind of still going on and get to see some humor in it and fall into the obstacles of it. So I think the writing is really good in it. They do a good job. They do it well. It's nicely written. It's realistic. And I think this film does the job of what films are supposed to do, and really just make you really think about your circumstances and empathize with other people. Right? I think ultimately that's what films want to do, get you to empathize with people. And so I think it is worthy. And I also don't think it's not like a cheesy rom-com. It's a very unique setup. So I think if you're not usually a fan of rom-coms, I think you'll like this film. It's different. That's why I had to look it up. I was like, do they call it a romantic comedy? Well, they did. I would just put it as a comedy, though. Not so much in the... It's not this, like, bad Netflix rom-com that's at Christmas. No, it's this very different kind. Yeah, so positive reviews. And you know, I think the lesson, I always talk about the lesson. There has to be a lesson of the film, right? And I think the lesson of The End of Us is that there's no such thing as a easy breakup. I'm going with that. I think that's a good lesson from it. Also, I think there's an element of, like, just because you've broken up doesn't mean that love doesn't exist still between people. You can hate each other and still love each other, right? After a breakup. Because sometimes it's easier to... You hate each other a little bit just so that you can handle the breakup, because love's still there. You just can't do it anymore. So there, yeah, I'm just going to review that this one time here, little bit of review, not an in-depth critique, like Socrates would have done, but little touch on my thoughts on the film. And now we're going to do the interview. I got to sit down with actor Ben Coleman. Well, we both sat down via Zoom and got to chat about his role in the film and asked him the world famous 7 questions. And he was a delight to have on. And I hope to have him on for a full podcast when I get back to those long interview shows. So Ben, not a long interview show, more, you know, hot topic. It's like going on The View. We already do hot topics and other things. And then, hope he's on there. And hope you're listening, Ben. And I hope you want to come back to Black and a Half. So here we go. Here's our interview with from The End of Us, Ben Coleman. Well, great. Ben, they would have, audience just heard me do a review of the film. And then, like, I really enjoyed the film. I really enjoyed your performance in it. To be honest, I wasn't sure when I saw the film, and I was like, is this too soon? Like, we're not done yet. Like, but I was so curious because I've known several people who kind of went through this. And so I was curious how it was. And I thought you guys brought a great lightheartedness to that serious? Like, how was that for you? Was it? I mean, I'm guessing you shot this during the well, we're not done. So, right.
Yeah. We shot it in like the peak of kind of lockdown in LA when it first kind of started to hit.
Was that tense? Like, was the set like you didn't really need to do much of an as if, or I don't know how much Stanislavski you had to bring in for this.
No, it was pretty method. it was intense. We all got our, this is before LA had really figured out some kind of template for how to properly structure a film shoot. And we just put our heads together and came up with the safest protocol we could follow, all get tested and then just quarantine without leaving. So we lived in the Airbnb that we shot the film, the cast and crew, all five of us lived together for the duration of the shoot. And, that alone was a wild experience. Right. I've never done that before, but it added to the claustrophobia that's supposed to be kind of felt throughout the film, because we were literally, feeling that in real life.
Right.
And yeah, there was the fear of, I felt confident that we were all safe and kind of kept health as a top priority, but it was tense because, I don't think at that point there had been a vaccine, and it was like, we just tried to kind of capture the moment of what we were all feeling. And you mentioned the fear of, is this too soon? Our idea going into it was, let's just make something authentic and try to capture it and, bring some authentic levity that we all had experienced without making too light of the severity of what was going on. But, I went through a breakup during COVID lockdown, and I tried to bring that into my performance of what was going on there. And it was all, we all had some kind of cathartic, therapeutic exercise of making a film about the real shit that was going on in the world at that time.
Yeah. I mean, I related a little. I remember when I was getting a divorce, when we were first breaking up, we financially, it seemed a little like, well, I can't quite afford to split the house yet. And we had a kid, so we were staying there. So I remember the 2 weeks of living together, but suddenly in separate rooms. And that was a highly relatable topic. And I was like, wow, I can't even imagine adding to the level of, at least I was able to go out when I was feeling, the antsy. And how much was everything that you did with each other, was it completely scripted, or was there any improv involved in the needling of each other that you have in the film?
A lot of improv in the needling. We had a very, complete outline and script that we followed, but in every scene we tried to find moments through improvisation. And Allie and I have worked together for years on past projects, and we're at BuzzFeed together doing we learned a style of working together that was heavily based on improv, which makes the shoot a lot of fun to find those kind of clever jabs in the moment and to actually try to surprise your partner with what is he going to say next? Or
right.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Is it just coincidence, or are you ensembled in some way? Like your group, you said you've worked with her several times. Is this,
it's not coincidence. I've worked. So we all worked in the past at BuzzFeed together. The directors, Allie, the producer, and I had worked on several projects with Allie where we played, kind of the arguing on and off again couple. And I think this was a brand new idea that, I know the directors, they wanted to make a piece about a breakup during COVID. And Allie and I had both worked with him a lot in the past, and we knew how to do that. So it was, I think, kind of a no-brainer for them to keep working with us. And we've always had a good, I felt like we've had a good chemistry and can argue. Pretty.
Oh yeah. No, you definitely, that chemistry reads on stage or on screen. I'm originally from stage. So I keep use old terms.
Oh, hey, I like that. I'm from stage as well.
I was wondering, I feel like this is the first quarantine film, like as far as like, or first, like COVID world film that wasn't like a horror, you know, like that they did that one or something last year. But like, I know for a while watching movies during the peak of COVID, I was always like, so unrealistic how they're like touching and nobody has a mask on or anything. And I felt it was like, this is the first film I've seen in a while that I was like, oh, this is like our world. This is actually, we're on Earth Prime for this, you know?
That's a good observation. I guess it's the first I've seen that just like doesn't pretend that COVID's not happening.
Right.
I feel the same way. When I see like a crowded, you know, subway in a film, I'm like, what? They're not wearing masks. This is so unrealistic.
Yeah. So like I said, the people have already heard my review on it, getting a positive one, spoiler alert.
Thank you.
And but here on Black and a Half, you know, a lot of people want to get to know the artist that I'm talking to a little bit. So I've filtered every question down in the world to the Black and a Half world famous 7 questions. Okay.
Ooh.
So I've got these 7 questions for you that let's just get to know you a little bit more. So number one, what are you most nerdy about?
What am I most nerdy about? That's a great question. God, I mean, I want to say like movies, but that's a boring answer. What am I nerdy about?
Is there something
about
that you get into the minutia about that you can really like people call because you know you're that phone a friend on that one topic or that hobby or.
Oh, I want to have a quick answer for this. Dang it. Why didn't you send me a.
It doesn't have to be quick. I like the spontaneousness.
Drawing a blank. I mean, I have a lot of tattoos. People usually contact me about that.
Are you a tattoo? Like, I mean, are you into them?
Yeah, I'm into them, but I'm not like fanatic level. I'm like a kind of a jack of all trades that doesn't have one particular super nerdism. I wish I did. It would be like watching movies and
that's okay. I mean,
I guess Breaking Bad, I am an absolute fanatic over.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the answer. Now we're talking.
Okay.
Yeah. I get deep into the, you know, themes and Easter eggs. And I believe it's the greatest piece of entertainment ever to be brought into this world.
I think it's a good show. I don't recommend it if you're working out. Like, it definitely is not a stress reliever.
No.
That's when I tried to watch it. I was like,
use that stress to push.
All right. Number two, what's something that you love to eat?
Oh, man. I'm a big sweets guy. I mean, I eat Thai food multiple times a week. But have you ever had cookie butter from Trader Joe's? Do you know what that is?
It's been a long time. I know what you're talking about.
It's like crack. I polished off like an entire tub. And I'm not happy about it, but I literally cannot stop once I start eating it.
I get that. For me, that's Cheez-Its. Like I don't buy any anymore because I can't have one. I can't have one Cheez-It. I eat a box. Okay. Did you have one box? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's something that you love to drink?
Hmm. So I am a, I drink Red Bull a lot.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm proud of that. It's probably ruining my insides, but I have this weird thing. Like if I drink coffee, I crash like an hour later and become super depressed and irritable. But when I drink Red Bull, it doesn't have that effect on me because it's like synthetic caffeine or God knows what. So
it gives you wings, first of all. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a Red Bull guy.
Okay. What kind of music do you love?
I love all sorts of music. I just went to a Tame Impala concert a few weeks ago, some like good psychedelic rock. And I love hip hop. Kendrick Lamar, Tame Impala, those would be two of my favorite artists of all time.
Respect. Okay. What do you love to create?
I love creating movies like The End of Us. Anytime I'm on set, short film, video, YouTube video, movie, starting with an idea and turning it into something that can be seen on film it still has its complete magic for me. I can't get enough of it. So creating film of any sort.
What's a game you love to play?
Oh my God. You want my honest answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, I've been playing a lot of games. I don't think it's cool anymore, but I still jump on Fortnite and play. I play my PS4 Fortnite, and I'm pretty decent at it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something I'm nerdy about too. Call of Duty or Fortnite, I can get lost in the sauce for hours on that.
Yeah. Oh, I love those. I've gotten over my shame of like losing to 13-year-olds, but you know, I do enjoy it. And I just turn the mic off or the headphones off, cause I don't need to hear these kids yell at me for being awful, particularly Call of Duty. I like World War II, or like, I like old ones where it's not like just a super weapon that you can get a hold of. Like,
yeah,
maybe because I feel like, well, I have a chance. Okay. Okay. Last question before I get kicked off here. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
What a question. I want to be remembered for this interview.
Yes,
right
here. That's always the correct answer. Yeah. Is your legacy as an actor? Is that what you want?
Yeah, I want to be known. I want to be remembered for making film that brought joy into the world and did something helpful. Yeah, inspired people in some way. That's what I'd love to be remembered for.
Terrific. Well, hey, thank you so much, Ben Coleman, for coming on the show. Appreciate it. The End of Us. It premieres this weekend, right? It's streaming everywhere. Everywhere, but you'll watch it on Amazon because you can't remember the password to all those other services. But we'll check it out. Recommend to check
Thank
it out.
You.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, man. This is fun.
Absolutely. Black and a half. Live long and prosper.